Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody.
Mind your P's and T's.
We're not doing it again. This is the episode.
No, that
hey, everybody,
one works.
Hey, welcome back to Faking Movies. This is episode 269, if you can believe it. Why?
Nice.
Why, oh, why?
Nice.
As is sometimes a tradition, when we hit special numbers, we try to do a special episode. So today, we've got friend of the show, the person who ran our Twitter account for years, and then it became X, and I don't know what's going on with it now. Marielle is here. Hey, Marielle, what's up?
Hi. Yeah, I don't know. I also don't know what's going on with it. I do try to make... I'm going to still call them posts. I don't know if I can call them tweets, but I'm not calling them X's.
Yeah.
No.
That's real stupid. I do still make posts on there occasionally, but it's...
Yeah, I mean, I deactivated my account months ago.
Yeah, like, me too. Yeah. I see no reason to support that moron through ad revenue.
Yeah, and let's face it. You know... You have been doing a lot of unpaid labor for us, and we have not been carrying our end of the bargain on creating entertaining content. So I think it's time to celebrate Marielle's effort and put it in the ground. You know, right? Am I right?
Oh, we certainly could. It's up to Marielle, really. I mean
yeah, that's Kylo Ren.
It's a really good excuse. True. Every other Monday to not do anything.
If
that's
nice. I'm busy with my
podcast. If X dies, like, something's going to take its place. Hopefully it's not video formatted, because God, who has the time for that?
Or Threads.
The kids like a bunch of new shit that I don't even remember.
My partner got a Blue Sky account because her boss has it for networking, and I don't know.
I don't want something that's good for
one.
Networking.
Should we just start posting on LinkedIn a bunch? Or that seems
That'd be really funny.
Ooh, I don't know if I want my.
Wouldn't tie ourselves.
Let's make a dummy account.
Can we make a Faking Movies LinkedIn account? Like, is that a thing?
That is definitely a thing.
Like, I know you can make one for a business, but
I have a bunch of burner emails. I could do that pretty easily. I mean,
this is almost a business. It's just not a profitable
business. That's true.
Correct.
Zach does sink money into this every year.
It's a de facto nonprofit.
My kids are going to have to go to a slightly less good college because of the web hosting bills.
I thought you were going to say that they were going to have to go to a shitty dentist based on our earlier conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true, too. Yeah, they'll put us all out of house.
Yeah, like
if they got my teeth. A Tufts.
Gross.
Tufts was the first school I visited, and then we got there, a very long place from the place that I grew up in, and we got there and I was like, I'm 17. Why did I want to come?
Why would anyone want to go to Tufts?
I cannot imagine you.
No, I think I picked arbitrarily. I don't know why.
Oh, I definitely applied to schools in a semi-arbitrary manner for college.
Me too.
All one school I applied to.
Oh, well, it worked out.
I did not.
Yeah.
I had a very specific program in mind, and I was very particular. And then I was like, this is the only one that fits all of those criteria. Let's hope.
Oh, look at me. Yeah. I'm Marielle. I know what I'm doing with my life.
I have a calling.
As the least educated person here.
Hey, why do you think I kept going back to school? Because I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing or what I want to do.
Seventh time's a try.
Hoping to run into Rodney Dangerfield?
I've seen you practice
the triple indie off the couch many times.
I
should let you in on a little secret. Nobody knows what the fuck
they're doing,
and it doesn't matter how many degrees you have. So if you can just go get a job, we're all fucking.
Even when you get a job, you go, "Is this it? I don't know.
This can't be right."
I have the most fake it till you make it job, I think, out of the group.
That's true.
Seth got it for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's at a company that he doesn't even work for anymore.
Yeah, they fired me.
And my boss made up my qualifications on my resume to get it approved.
Yep.
It's like, true.
Yeah.
And yeah. And what Lee is an astronaut, horrifically. It's going to get weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm recording from Mir in the past. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how they didn't background check it. It's wild.
Well, you know, I took the time machine to Cocoa Beach, and I had all that proof that they were Nazis because I'm from the future.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
They had to let me in.
Yeah.
So, episode?
Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about.
269. Damn, looks fine.
269. It's a mic drop. We're going to make some magic. Mic drop.
Yep.
It is the mic drop. All the mics.
So. We're doing the Magic Mike trilogy for a special treat. Normally, like on shows I listen to, if they do a special episode, it's because the people who listen enjoy that special format, and they'll say it's a treat for our fans. Those don't exist. So it's a treat for us because we didn't have to watch a bad movie.
Yeah, well, that's true.
We did.
Arguable.
We'll get into it.
But Lee, you are vastly in the minority on
We didn't have to watch a movie that we knew going in was going to be unenjoyable.
Sure.
How about
that? True.
That's true. Yeah.
We did also get to watch a movie that we knew was enjoyable.
I mean, so two of them are pretty.
And then an additional movie that I couldn't remember how I felt about. Before watching.
Yep. Okay, so Magic Mike, how do we want to do this?
Something we definitely should have talked about beforehand.
Well, we could do the typical setup that we tend to do for these. We can just really briefly read the IMDb's for each movie if anyone has those pulled up.
And I then have just them go pulled for up.
It. Yeah.
Right. Do we want to do them in sequence? Like, well,
yeah. Just
we'll start with Magic Mike and talk about that for a while, then do XXL. And then,
yeah, works. I think that works. Yeah, then you know, once we get through some thoughts, we can offer our personal power rankings, our PPPs, and take it on home.
Okay. Then let's start up with Magic Mike, which is a 2012 film. It didn't cause the end of the world, but we thought it might. Care about that Nostradamus Mayan calendar thing.
This is what all the boners
you're doing for no reason when you could just be reading. But
the boners were going to swell too much and pop, and then
half
of the population's dead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
So. A male stripper teaches a younger performer how to party, pick up women, and make easy money.
It's actually not a very good summary.
It's a terrible summary, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's not really. Yeah.
It's yet again one of those, like, well, there's a lot of plot lines going, and you picked one, and it's not the best one.
So, description of what that plot
It's so much sadder than
does
that
anybody
the
sort of
movie.
Have a summary in their mind for this or
guy takes shirt off, guy puts shirt back on, takes it off again, puts it back on again.
Or it's construction during the day.
A guy who's you know, trying to get out of a certain lifestyle while at the same time shepherding a young man through who's joining that lifestyle, and also Matthew McConaughey's a dirtbag, and and Gabriel Iglesias causes some. I have theories about why his role is greatly reduced in the second movie that I'll get into eventually.
Oh,
but like, I think Gabriel's kind of one of the secret villains of this movie. I mean, plot wise, he is explicitly a villain, but like, I don't think we.
Yeah,
we've like he doesn't get like focused on like he's a villain, but it's a Soderbergh movie, so it's kind of all over the place. I want to bring up one bit of info about the movie before we get into our conversations, just because I want to bring this up with all three of them because it's very weird and interesting. So the budget for this movie was $7 million, and the box office was $167 million.
$7 million
is really
even in 2012.
Like they did this for. They did this for.
I'll give you some perspective on this. The cinematographer was Peter Andrews, and the editor was Marianne Bernard. Those people are also Steven Soderbergh. Those are his pseudonyms for. He did everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant his people. You mean literally him.
No, literally him.
No,
yeah,
like,
those are his, like.
I like
weird
that he
pseudonyms.
Has one female alter ego.
Yeah, that is nice, yeah.
I would like to see him in drag.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Marielle.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe he does drag when he's acting.
Really embodies the role. That's
yeah. You. I don't know if you. I don't know if this is a person that you may remember, Marielle, but maybe because you may, were. Did you ever watch E as a teen, like as a younger? Okay.
Of course.
He Steven Soderbergh is married to Jules Asner, the former host of Wild on E.
Holy shit! Wow.
No,
She's the Maria Menounos of E. She's just like always around.
She would, yeah. And
he pulled off.
She also good. She also wrote the movie. The one that I tried to watch and I couldn't get into, but I feel like I need to give it another chance. It's the bank robbery in the South movie with Channing Tatum that Soderbergh made.
No idea.
Doesn't matter. Anyway,
okay.
Doesn't matter.
So
She wrote that.
He keeps everything in house. Yeah.
In-house.
I assume we're going to talk about this, but he one of his like main career goals is being very efficient, right? Like,
yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that totally makes sense. But yeah,
I heard he made that movie Kimmy last year that was on Max that I thought was like pretty good.
That's Zoe Kravitz and all
it
that
is.
Business.
Yeah, yeah. Zoe Kravitz like home invasion thriller in the time of COVID, and apparently.
Yeah.
His post-production schedule on that movie was 4 days.
Sometimes it takes me 4 days to edit a podcast episode.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
God he does damn. Everything in the moment as they're going. Wow. So, like, yeah.
That's wild. I mean, $7 million and making 167 is, like, unfucking believable. When I looked it up, I was guessing in my head. I was like, all right, it probably cost, like, 25, and I guess it made, like, 60. And it was, like... nearly an order of magnitude higher than that, like fucking yes. Unbelievable. Yeah,
that is.
Yeah,
yeah, that is very
it
impressive.
Is, yeah.
So
then I guess I should have known that there would be a sequel when the dollars look like that.
Yeah,
well, the behind the
scenes
stuff gets weirder for sure, but like we'll get into it. I'm
all
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, well, like, is what do people want to talk about? I guess.
Yeah, say, Marielle, I know you have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah,
okay.
You have a lot of notes.
I do. Yeah. I have thoughts. Mm. Number one, Matthew McConaughey is not
no.
acting. That's just Matthew McConaughey. Yep. I am convinced that is exactly how that man behaves every day in real life.
And you look around the room.
That's
breakers.
Why he did it for cheap.
All the people,
one take.
Yeah, all the people around him are looking at him like, God damn it, again with this shit? Like, really? Like,
can I?
No one is enjoying him being around, for sure.
Can I ask you guys a question? Did you guys also Mandela yourself into thinking he got nominated for an Oscar for this movie?
Yeah,
I was
but it was
so...
Dallas Buyers Club, wasn't
no?
it?
Well, yeah, it was, and he won for that. But I was so convinced that, like...
And his name is Dallas.
I think
it is Dallas. Yeah.
You thought that this movie got Oscar noms? That's surprising.
I remember there had been tons of buzz about McConaughey might get a Best Supporting nomination.
Yeah,
and
I
was
do
like,
remember that.
So annoyed at it because I remember like not loving his performance. And I looked it up today, and I was like, wait, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
What is my brain doing to me?
Also, the only thing about McConaughey I had in this one was that he does all right. Every fucking chance he gets in this movie.
Yeah.
There are like 600 of those.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Really? With that
like
shit?
The opening like... scene with him on stage, having, you know, telling everybody the rules.
Yeah.
He's just doing all right the entire goddamn time.
That's why I'm not, I don't think he's acting in this.
No.
I made a note here. Now,
true detective.
I watched this like, a week or two ago, and there was wine involved.
Yeah.
And I wrote a note.
Yeah.
Husband of the podcast wants to be friends with Channing Tatum.
Yeah, same.
Yes,
super same.
Apropos of nothing.
Obviously.
Do we all.
Very charming on this. So,
I think he is also playing himself in this in all of these movies. And I think he's...
Channing, and this is like his biopic.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
he said that this
it comes across
life.
Very realistic. And like, he seems like a chill dude for sure.
My understanding of it is he, Reed Carolyn, who Channing has continued to work with, is the writer. And my understanding is Channing told him all kinds of things about his time as a stripper in Tampa when he was 18. And they were like, okay, we're going to use these things that happened to you and build a story and like insert different parts of that into the story.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yes.
Just love that it's in Tampa, too. Like, fucking of course it is. It's
just...
of course, it's so perfect. One thing I did want is, has this ever leaked on, like, YouTube? I want to see the audition tapes for all the strippers.
Ooh.
Like, I want to see Matt Bomer being like, you know what? I'm doing this like kind of show on USA. I'm gonna come be a stripper. Like, I want to see that audition. Yeah. I want to see the dance audition. I also want to see the choreography rehearsals. Yeah. Like, that is the, like, this is why DVDs should come back. Because sure. I want that bonus. The extras, content.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone can rip that and put it up on YouTube for me. I want to see their
rehearsals. I just read a thing today that I don't, this isn't about auditioning, but like, I guess Joe Manganiello went out for it and was like, didn't know if it was something he actually wanted to be in. Uh-huh. And Chris Rock convinced him to do it.
All right.
Amazing.
Why not?
That is...
To be that famous.
I mean, Chris Rock was probably like, look at your body.
Yeah.
Like, also, if I'm reading this correct, you're auditioning for Big Dick Richie. So yeah, probably do that. Yeah. Why would you not do that?
Yeah. I mean,
I say in the order of like dancing stuff, Kevin Nash is not so good. He's a hulking giant of a man, and he is old as shit, and he was a wrestler and all
Zach,
that
do you know how many times he's blown out his quads?
For how old he is?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like everyone else in the McMahon family. Yeah, he's
for how much he abused his body. Yeah. He is an amazing
He looks amazing for sure. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I had to look up how old he was and I was like blown away.
Yeah. Well, the fact that he's a wrestler and that old and alive is a triumph for sure.
Also true. But that's why he's so good at choreography.
Sure.
Permanent brain damage. Yeah.
He had so much training in the wrestling world.
I think.
But I did not, when I saw this in the theaters 11 years ago, I did not know who that was.
Sure. Yeah.
And my husband was like, let me tell you his whole memory.
Yeah.
Right. Yes,
from memory.
My partner of the pod has been through this as well. Yeah. So you two share this trauma. Yeah. Yes.
I think, so he's.
We paused the movie to watch the heel.
He had to just get one in for him. He's like, I just need 10
this is
minutes,
how much
please.
I love my husband.
I think he's weak, but he is so good in other ways as far as he's weak as far as dancing goes.
I love and then, and more as the movies go on, his role very much turns into he's just kind of also in the scene and then throws out some real little bit of wisdom.
He's the
I
dad
just, I love
he's,
this yeah
he's the dad for sure.
Yeah.
And I think Manganiello is probably the second weakest. Like Bomer's great, CSI Miami's great,
yeah,
I feel like all the other guys are great, but Manganiello, like, he is he's a spectacular looking human being, but all the other guys fully committed to everything, and he still feels like he's kind of embarrassed by it. Like, you can tell he's holding back just a little bit because he's like shy or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Because he's afraid of fire.
Well,
that's why he dresses up as a
sure,
fireman.
That's true. That was a plot line.
According to the movie.
The second movie,
You know, but like, Channing commits in a way that I've never committed to anything in my entire fucking life. Like,
well, like
he is so committed.
He became famous as a dancer, so like, it makes perfect sense. And he got to choreograph like a fair bit of at least his stuff in this movie. Like, he's invested. Joe Manganiello is a classically trained actor. Like, he went to CMU. But I don't think he has a dance background. So
yeah,
that's you know,
that's only vaguely related. But
Did you see Step Up?
Step Up is great.
At some point,
It's great. Yeah. I was like, after we watched all of these, I was like, I need to go back and rewatch Step Up because
that's where Channing met
Jenna Dewan.
Jenna Dewan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jenna Dewan.
Star
immediately.
Of TV's,
they fell
immediately
in love.
After that, he was in that Shia LaBeouf movie, A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints.
Oh, right. A movie that we faked
many,
three apartments ago for me.
Oh, like a million years ago.
That's a Shia LaBeouf, isn't it?
Shit.
Yeah, I think.
Who's to say?
It doesn't matter. Yep. He has fallen off the cultural radar in a big way. So, okay, what else, Marielle? Thoughts?
Okay, so I have questions. The girl with the pet pig, that's Riley Keough.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Elvis' granddaughter. Okay. She was in. Was she engaged to Alex Pettifer after this
I don't
movie?
Know. So it seems entirely possible, and I'll tell you why I think that. I just listened to the book about the making of Mad Max Fury Road, and she is in it a bunch, obviously, because she's one of the wives. And she keeps talking about how she met her husband on the set of Fury Road. But as the book goes on, she's like, like a year after we finished, we went to do reshoots, and there was this one stunt guy who I had great chemistry with, and I was engaged to someone when I made the movie, but then I came back and I was single suddenly, and we reconnected and we got married. And it's like, so maybe this is part, maybe seeing how wooden and horrible of an actor Alex Pettifer is in this movie led them to greater
happiness. I was going to say, I assume that had to be a Soderbergh decision where he was like, God, this kid is bad at this thing, but that's actually the thing we need for this. So like, yeah, that's fine. Like,
He was just so hard.
So, just very robotic and weird.
He, like, I think they were just like, we need someone who's really
handsome. He has that, for sure. And he's a baby face and all that, but...
He was...
But, yeah. like, not
He was
ripped.
Having, like, a... Not a Twilight moment at the time, but he was in a lot of...
He was in a movie called Beastly, which...
This is the one I'm thinking of with Vanessa Hudgens. Yeah, yeah, it's right. Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What happened to him?
He's still he's like, bad at acting. Yeah.
He's
still
in
stuff.
He was a dickhole,
like,
and no one wanted to work with
him. He's doing like C-list horror movies currently, I believe. I see.
I think.
But the Riley Keough character, I was just like, I saw the pink hair, I saw the pet pig, and I was like, wow, this is.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
Girl, fucking dope right now. Like literally, and then when Mike is like, "You don't need that in your life," I was like. I mean, that's true, but the fact that they had to squeeze the manic pixie.
No, he says, you don't need that in your life, and I think the entire universe went,
Doesn't end well for anyone.
You know, like 1 and 3, I think, have a way more plot than I would have necessarily expected. Sure. Like,
yeah.
But 1 feels real loose, even with all the plot going on.
Really? I feel that way about 2. It's 2 is just loosey-goosey. A fucking two shotgun
is,
approach.
No, 2 is very loose in general. I'm just
two
talking.
Is, 2 is loosey-goosey. Yeah.
In a good
2
way,
is loose
though.
In a good way. 1, revisiting, I was like, there's so many plot threads. And also, it feels like nothing matters. This is so
That was like
loose.
One of the few things I wrote down. I was like, I remember it being much tighter and much more going on, but it's just a lot of shit that isn't consequential. Like, there is a lot of shit for sure, but like,
yeah, there's a lot of set pieces. It's kind of like a stage play in that regard, where I feel like they're not like, not every scene has any like plot moving forward. It's just we need to do a review, and here now we're gonna sing a different song, like like a fucking
it's like they're doing
musical.
Summer Stock or something.
I don't know. I definitely wrote less talking, more
things. Yeah.
Like, we all know that we were just like...
Two was this thing. Seth, well, not to jump ahead, but Seth, I think you watched like 3/4 of it, and you were like, all I have is the actual ending of 2, like the actual like conference thing. And he was like, how long could that possibly be? And I'd like, I was like, you might be surprised. It's quite fucking long.
Because I fell asleep the other night watching them.
Dreaming of sugar buns dancing in your head.
So this is one of, as to the plot thing, this is like
sugar bums and cum.
Oh, it's so many.
Cum clusters.
This movie came out the same year as Pitch Perfect, the original Pitch Perfect, of which they have also made 3. And I feel like spiritually they are very similar, where it was like, let's pick this very niche thing that not many people care about, but like, if you saw just the hint of like men stripping or a cappella college group, you might be like, well, that's weird enough, like maybe I'll see that thing. And they both succeeded in like not making it a throwaway thing, like, you know, a movie about like ping pong, like whatever that fucking kung
balls of fury.
Yeah, where you're just like, okay, that's just the whole thing is stupid. They both succeeded in like taking themselves just seriously enough that it was still like a good movie, and then also that niche thing happens at the same time, either the men taking their clothes off or the acapella. And so like, it takes you on the journey, and at the end you're like, oh, I didn't come in with high expectations, but I'm actually surprised that like there was sort of a Disney movie in there like hiding the whole time or whatever. I don't know. I seemed wildly.
See, this is what I don't. This is why I don't think I like the first one that much. Is I think you're right in that it's a premise that you're like, sure, whatever, male strippers, and it's like, then you go in and it's like, oh, and it's a drama movie. Thank you. You've pulled me in. But in like the second movie and the third movie, and specifically the second movie, It's, oh, male strippers. And it's a road trip found family movie. And it's like, and the thing that I keeps getting in my head is the first movie really seems like it has a problem with the idea of stripping. And like, it doesn't like it because only bad things happen to these people.
Yeah.
And then we get to the sequels. It starts to treat stripping like not even a service industry job, as like a craftsman job.
Artistry.
And like, I think it's just much more positive feeling that I enjoy. I enjoy them a lot more.
But do you have to crawl before you walk and walk before you run? Like, was the first movie setting that up? I don't know. Like,
I mean, I don't think the second movie happens without like the bad tastes of the, you know, you get some bad taste in your mouth with the first movie.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't mean that I'm going to like it.
Sure.
That it happened.
I think the only counterpoint to that,
I mean, but like, it's a sex work thing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, right? Even if even if it is not explicitly having sex, and that's still taboo, right?
And so, yeah, and I think like the main characters, like Channing Tatum especially, he never apologizes for the thing. He's always like, he's always just like,
yeah, this is just a thing.
Yeah, he's like,
do.
Like for people that he meets along the way, he's like, all right, like it might be kind of weird or whatever, but then he always like brings those people to his level and is like, just come see it. Like, you're gonna be surprised. Like, it's really good.
I agree. I guess it's just like when I think of this movie, the thing I think of is Channing Tatum desperately trying to get out of the life.
That's true.
And like put it behind
him.
Versus,
well, he's just desperately trying to get out of like hustling.
Yeah, that's true, because he does have a bunch of different jobs.
It's not really
jobs.
The dancing. It's like
he wants to get out of the sorority
side
parties
and, like, get
and all
into
that
having
shit.
A full-time
like,
job.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess just like,
I do notice that he doesn't sleep
because
of all the hustles, and I'm like, okay, is it meth or cocaine? It has to be meth, right? Because it's Florida.
Yeah,
he doesn't like drugs though. Like drugs are.
You're the only one of us who's seen On Becoming a God in Central Florida. So what is it?
Oh, I forget. I mean, it's MLMs, but like,
it has to be meth. It's
alligators. I forget. Yeah,
I feel like Channing could have been a good MLM hun. You know, if he really
tried. He's an Adonis. I would buy anything
because
off of his body.
Because all women die the second that when he walks into the bank, and the woman is like, she's so flustered, and I'm like, oh, you know what? That's my problem with this movie. There's too many fucking tropes.
Yeah, it is very tropey.
The sister. The sister's a trope. Mm-hmm. Like the bank lady is a trope. Like, everyone's a fucking trope. The second one has way less of that,
which is surprising since it's like such a fun romp. You would expect there to be like comedy tropes and like, but they I feel like they earn what they do in the second one in a different way.
Sure.
This one's like all tropes.
The sister love plot was like especially arduous because it goes on for like the literal entire movie, and you end at the part where you think she might have finally made the turn. Like, it ends right in the middle of that scene, which I think is great. Like, that was a nice, like, just kind of smash cut ending. But it's like,
as soon as he was like crashing on my sister's couch, you're
And then, but then he doesn't for like an hour and 45 minutes, and you're like, okay, can we just like turn the corner on this one? Yeah.
I just was like, can he just? How about he just is single?
Yeah.
How
Mike got his groove back.
Well, you know,
until the end.
Why I'm always talking about tedious romantic subplots.
Sure. Oh, I mean, yeah, this one is.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. That's my least favorite part of the movie.
It's exhausting.
I also hate how, like, she does all the emotional labor up until the very end because she's unfuckable. Oh. And it's like, this is all women. Like, as a woman, you're just like, the unfuckable one does all the, like, supportive, like, emotional labor, but the ones that you fuck are, like, Olivia.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
a really good point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
This,
that I really
this movie
yeah,
that might
really
be the thing that dates this movie the most is
Olivia
Munn's
existence
has a prominent supporting role.
This is her. This is the first time I saw her outside of like being a host on G4
from 100 years ago. Her plotline was, as much as I don't really like her, her plotline was interesting, where it's like they fuck other people together, and that was like surprisingly just like accepted, which I thought was fun. But then there's the fiance that shows up, and that was like a real wrench in the works, and then that plotline went nowhere. It just like ended.
But that's like that's just another trope too. Like, you're just throwing
it. But you think there'd be like conflict after that, but there wasn't. It was just move on. It was weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Yeah, but the sister part, I was like, obviously they're like perfect for each other. They have banter, witty banter, which he doesn't have with anyone else. And like, you know, it's just like, I was like, can we just have one movie like with no tedious romantic subplot?
No.
Fucking no.
Apparently not.
Do we want to, or does anybody else have any feelings about the first movie, or shall we move on? Because
But Lee, I thought you wanted to talk about the DJ or whatever his name is.
I'll talk about him in the next movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I will say, you talk about thing that dates this movie. For me, the thing that dates this movie is that people call each other on the phone. No, that booty calls are phone calls, not text. No FaceTime, no text, nothing. And also, there's no camera phones. Because you know that those sorority girls be having video of everything that went down in that house. Yep. There's no, and I'm like, there's no fucking way that they're having this party with no cameras. Also, why were all the boys in one room and all the girls in the other room? It was like an eighth grade.
The girls invited the strippers over and also their boyfriends. And they're like, can you hang out in the living room that we don't use?
Go in the other room.
Just stay in the kitchen, please.
Like, impossible.
But the cell phoning is what really, for me, like, puts this
that is solidly. Yeah, calling, if you want a booty call, like, and instead of, not, like, hey, do you want to fuck, you call someone and speak the words, hey, do you want to fuck? It's so weird.
It, like, blew my mind, because I was like, oh, that's super weird.
Right.
You just actually, like, hey, you
so
up.
Low
like,
stakes. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Up?
It's fine.
It was that to me was
weird.
This is another thing I've heard about Soderbergh, is like a lot of directors talk about, I don't know how to make a movie in a world with smartphones, and he's just like, fuck it, there's I made the movie in 2010, this is the phone that they have. Like
they're like, get that iPhone 1 or that iPhone 3 or whatever that was,
probably 3 4.
Very vintage.
All right, let's move on to 2.
I think I had an iPhone 4 when I went to see that movie.
All right, well, I guess we need to mind our P's and 2's for this sequel.
We all still hate you, but...
Seth, do you want to read the IMDb?
Yes, the sequel film, which is, I guess, one sentence, but boy, it looks
long. Let me guess. Before you do it, let me guess. Soderbergh dropped all of the actual film clips on the ground while he was editing, and then he scrunched them into a handful and just threw them into a VCR.
I mean, that's the summary, but the IMDb summary for Magic Mike XXL, which is a 2015 film, is 3 years after Mike bowed out of the stripper life at the top of his game, he and the remaining Kings of Tampa hit the road to Myrtle Beach to put on one last blowout performance.
Yep.
That's much better than the summary of
that
the first
is exactly
one.
The summary
that's much
of
more
movie.
Accurate I did my number one takeaway from the beginning of this movie was the only place in America that's trashier
Beach.
And I was like, as soon as they said they were going to Myrtle, I was like, oh fucking, they nailed it. Like, they were like, what is a worse place than Tampa?
I've been to Myrtle Beach once. Zach was there, and
I have been to Tampa once and Myrtle once, and I would sooner go to Tampa, but only barely.
There is lots of good mini golf at Myrtle, though.
Sure,
so.
Lots of good strip clubs in Tampa. Yeah. We're strip clubs. I don't know if they're good, but lots of them.
I don't care about that as much as mini golf.
Sure.
There's really great
and Dick's Last Resort. You can go to a Dick's Last Resort in Myrtle Beach for sure.
I don't really care about that either.
Do you guys know that
there's lots of mini golf?
Yeah.
Did you guys know that they put in a Dick's Last Resort in the Excalibur Casino and Hotel in Las Vegas, and they took the Merlin statue off of the hotel and replaced it with a giant flag for Dick's Last Resort?
That's fucking stupid.
I did not know that, but I 100% believe you. Even if you're lying, I believe you, because I've been to the Excalibur. And that's up there with
I was at the Excalibur when I was like 9. I remember it being cool because there was Medieval Times in the basement.
Oh, hell yeah, of course.
That was the pre-medieval times.
This one, by the way, the budget was $15 million, so we're doubling budgets here, and it made $123 million. So we're doubling budgets and
It's not as good. It's not as good, but it is a catastrophic success for sure. Marielle, you said Myrtle was your hallmark for the beginning. Mine was they retcon McConaughey away so efficiently.
They're just like, he moved to Europe.
Macau. He went to Macau to start a show.
They literally like get on the fucking RV and they're like, Dallas is gone. He went to this place. And everybody goes, all right, moving on. And I was like, that is all that I wanted out of
and then they sing, moving right
along. Okay, question. So this is in my head canon. Is it implied that he is sex trafficking the kid in Macau or they're just stripping in Macau?
Interesting. Right. I didn't read it that way, but...
Well, because it's Dallas. He had an oil painting
of himself.
He is a dirt for sure.
Who among us?
What are you talking about?
Not an oil painting, but I think an acrylic of myself and my wife and our pets. So,
That's true. And I've been, for the last several years, trying to convince myself to finally buy the... 5'6" standee of myself in a romper that I want, but you know, and it has to be accurate, also, correct height.
Lee, romper. You in a romper. The best memory I have of that is you passed out face down on your couch that one time we made wings at your house.
For your birthday.
So that doesn't make a good stand up, but I bet there is.
Well, it's the same. It's the same romper.
Right, but can we do that and figure out the geometry to make it work somehow? I don't
know.
We could just make like a full statue.
What about like an area statue of you laying down, and you put it in your foyer?
That's interesting. Or something. Yeah. I don't want tacky things in my house.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. We'll all put it in our house. That's fine.
Lee,
I want you laying face down in my house.
A tapestry set, like a Bayeux tapestry.
Yeah, right. Okay. Like a full wall scroll tapestry.
Yeah.
Of me drinking too much when all my friends were over and then waking up several hours later and being sad.
And then we watched Twilight. It's good. Also, like, we are all going to own a restaurant that has hundreds upon hundreds of pictures of me. So, like, saying that he has an oil painting of himself doesn't automatically make him a bad guy.
That's true, I guess. Right. He just is a bad guy. But sure.
Yeah, he's just a bad guy.
I will say one thing I really appreciate about this movie that definitely brought it into, like, the later 2000s is that you can tell they were really like, we got to put some fucking diversity in this movie. And they were like, we're going to have black people for the first time. We're going to have gay people. We're going to have drag queens. And I was like, you know what? I know they're forcing this, but I also appreciate it. Cause like they were all voguing and I kind of was living.
The first movie is shockingly devoid of gay people.
Except for Matt Bomer, who is a gay man. I'm pretty sure.
He is.
But his character is
But why
is
not just make him gay? There's so many plot lines you could do with him being gay but dancing for women or whatever. It's
because I'm sure some marketing director was like, that's not going to sell.
I guess.
He didn't come out. Oh, that's true. I don't know if he was out yet. Hmm. Was he, when he came out with his husband, I don't know when he came out. It was during White Collar, but I don't know.
Well, they might have made, like, because he's really into, like, crystals. Isn't he? Maybe that was.
Oh, they make him really funny. Maybe
that was a nightmare fucking Burning Man person. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was saging the Froyo truck, and he was like doing tarot, like he was like reading all their horoscopes. I kind of loved
those. Are very coded, not heterosexual man things. That's all I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but yeah, no, this movie had a lot more diversity.
Yeah, I was like, But I was like, someone clearly was like,
But then they were like, let's hire Jada Pinkett Smith. And then you lost me. I was not on board anymore.
That character was supposed to be played by a man.
Oh. Mm. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. I like Jada in that regard. But like,
was it supposed to be?
I like a woman better, but.
Wasn't there Roman from the Fast and Furious movie?
Tyrese?
Well, the character's name is Rome. So maybe.
Was it supposed to be Tyrese all along?
Oh my God. If it was Tyrese.
He's almost too much.
He looks so good with
his shirt. He's a lot, you know? Like, how about Ludacris?
He's so beautiful.
Ludacris might be all right.
Luda would bring.
How about Michael Strahan?
Michael Strahan. I remember seeing this in a movie theater and being like,
Michael Strahan?
What the fuck?
I was like, Michael Strahan from Michael and Kelly? And my husband was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't know. It doesn't look like
him. Yeah. But this is pre-Kelly. This is like finally... pre-him like moving out of football stuff, I feel like.
No, he retired.
Yeah, yeah. But he hadn't become like a media... No, he wasn't like a media personality yet at this point, I think. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hard to say.
And I mean, Dong Lover is looking...
Dong Lover is out of fucking nowhere, and he sings for real, and it's actually quite good. Oh, love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah.
And he's credited as Childish Gambino on the soundtrack. He's an extremely
talented man. He really is. So,
yeah.
He's very... I love him. I was like... When I saw him come out, because I was like, no spoilies, so I was like, I'm not
going to do anything. Oh, you're already just wearing a suit jacket and no shirt. Awesome.
Try and have it in the
I was a little disappointed he didn't have a dance, excited. But like, you know, it doesn't. Maybe that's not his forte or whatever. It's fine. Yeah.
I mean,
this
is America. The trope he's pretty in this good.
One. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That's true. So the trope in this one is Amber Heard as the worst.
Yes, but we lost her. Sister. We lost her in the edit. The worst. Very much appreciate Soderbergh for that. You could tell he watched all the clips and he was like, "How do we reduce her role as
like,
much as
possible?"
What is
the point of her fucking character?
It's just because Mike needs
a blonde lady the tedious romantic subplot, and then I have to assume Soderbergh watched all that shit and was like, "Actually, no, let's just not."
Yeah.
Speaking of, though,
when you find out she's
not
rich.
Tedious romantic subplots, Big Dick Ritchie and Andy McDowell.
How Andy McDowell. Everybody got their groove back. Love, 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 love. Oh my
that is,
fuck.
That could
when
be the name
Andy
of
McDowell
this movie.
Came out, I was like,
how everyone got their groove back. And they all get it back in different ways.
Mm. But I love the support from the group, too, because Big Dick Ritchie hasn't had sex with a person in quite a while because his dick is that fucking big, apparently. And they, the next day, when they all wake up at Andy McDowell's house, they're like, really? She was the one? And he's like, yep. And they, it's not like, oh, shit. It's just like, ah, good for you, man. And then they just, they
like,
get back on the bus and move the fuck on.
No, that's, I mean,
no,
but
that's when they take the fancy
car. Oh, they take
car, the bus is fucked.
The rolls. Yeah,
they get the rolls.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, this movie is such a, I like this one so much. It's because it is just, like, everybody is super, like, they are constantly. And this is not that common, I feel, in most movies where men can say to each other that they love each other.
Sure.
Like, actively. And that's not even at the end. That's not even the climax. That's like midpoint.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, hey, we had a rough night, but also I love you guys.
And platonic like, oh, male friendships are very heavy in these movies. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like not a lot about this movie is like the way that they I know they can be real with each other too where they're like what the
oh,
fuck's
when,
up bro
when Mike
like,
takes Matt Bomer and he's like hey man we gotta talk about this
but then they kick each other in the nuts what is happening
because sometimes you can't sometimes you the amount of little boy you still are sneaks in
true
but I kind of liked like that they were being like little boys together.
It is like
it was a very fun platonic.
It is. It's the thing that like there's always these like road trip movies, which this literally is, I guess. But it's that like ideal of the friendship that you wish you had, and like we have all had at certain times going on vacations together or whatever. But you watch that thing and you see it, and you're like, oh, those are the good times. Like I love that thing, and this does capture that very purely. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's really good.
I love all of their like passions to come out in this movie. Yeah. Like you know, there's an artisanal Froyo truck, and like
yes, I appreciated that they like gave each of the dancers a little bit more depth. Sure. In the first one, they were very much auxiliary to Mike, and then in this one, they're like, okay,
yeah,
this
Mike.
One's
Mike isn't really. The star as much, right? He's not 50% of the plot. He's maybe 25% of the plot, I would say, this time. At least from my perspective. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you guys feel?
Well, there wasn't the tedious kid thing. It was everybody on the same journey, so
Lee, would I be able to call this a picaresque?
No.
Honestly, this definitely if any, again the editing is so like weird and jarring
it's
that
like
it does seem like a picaresque. Yeah.
No, Seth, it's not because people learn something in the end. There's
do
character development.
I don't think they do. I think they all come in good. They come in good and then they just like have a nice time and they end good.
Yeah.
No, they learn how to believe in their own artistry if nothing else.
Okay,
if nothing else. Like
they can do it without Dallas.
That's
they
true.
Can do it on their
yeah.
own because the.
So does a Picaresque have to be?
Because the treasure was the friendship
was.
That you
But they
had
already had that. They're already bros.
You don't learn anything?
No. Yeah.
Well, Seth, also, this isn't like a vignette-y movie. I mean, yes, there are sequences and set pieces.
I mean, especially the last 45 minutes.
It's extremely vignette.
There's a whole plot that happens.
They go to Jada's house, and then they just smash cut to Andy McDowell's house, and then they leave there, and they smash cut to the next thing. Everything is very disjointed.
It's
giving
me so much glee to have Lee have to yeah.
He doesn't want anything to be a Picaresque. It's true.
Yeah. You
overuse
it. I want
a thesis. That's
all. That's
Marielle, just... speaking of thesis, I forgot to say this on the top. My thesis for this trilogy of movies is Steven Soderbergh is a coward for not using full frontal male nudity in these three movies.
It is fucking annoying, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's
that
true.
That is true. He drops the
there's
drops
butts, there's,
of butt.
There's lots of tits in these movies.
Yeah,
there's
but he doesn't drop
no
any
hogs.
Balls.
No hogs.
It's R-rated, right?
Probably.
It's, I think, like, yeah, the second one for sure is R-rated. I'm looking at the poster
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, and I was
now.
Like,
yeah.
But there's no...
Yeah, the poster's no really nice, yeah. though. It's got a nice poster.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one thing I do take away from this movie, and I don't think this is intentional, is that this franchise is... Even with all the subplot in the first movie, this franchise is pro MDMA. So I'm going to assume that Steven Soderbergh does a lot of ecstasy.
He lives in Hollywood. Because
yeah. they make it.
Well, he made Traffic, you know, so he probably made some connections back in the day.
Could be.
Like,
well,
could be.
I mean, well, I'm watching this movie and I'm like.
But the first one, MDMA, caused some
drugs.
Problems, right? And that can sort of be a.
Yeah, but they also like make the experience of being high
on
ecstasy.
On the bus in the like,
right.
very early part of the movie where somebody throws Mike's phone out the window and it's not actually Mike's phone. But then they take ecstasy
yep.
and Soderbergh's absolute genius. They're arguing about something and then he cuts to 57 minutes later or something. Yeah. And then they're all just like,
yeah.
oh man, this is going to be so fucking fun. Great. Like, yeah, that is really
and
fun.
That's, and that's when we get Big Dick Richie to like
yeah.
get the first level of his mojo
yep.
back by
the Backstreet Boys sequence. I mean,
it's so
people
good.
Still talk about this.
Oh
I
my
need
God.
To see that
when
outtake
he's
from
dancing
that scene, by
to the stone faced lady. And then just the best part of that, not her like reacting and laughing at the end or whatever. It's the friends on the outside of the window, absolutely
mm-hmm.
fucking
yes.
losing
screaming.
Their minds. I was just
yes.
like, this is what yes. every human wants in the universe. One of these in your lifetime is just the best
mm-hmm.
thing in the world. Yeah.
Gonna split open
it's,
some hot
it's
Cheetos
so
and
fucking
oh pour
God,
water
God,
myself.
So
what
good.
Do I owe you for the water
yeah.
and the Cheetos? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is
Cheetos, yeah. It's
so good.
So good. And then later
yeah.
on the bus, they're eating the Cheetos. Like, it's so... Yeah, the friends freaking
yeah.
out through the window,
it's
though.
It's amazing.
So good.
Amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
Ugh, so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it's so like it yeah that was like one of those scenes where mm-hmm. I made my
yeah exactly
right.
it's
it
just
like,
perfect
and this
yeah.
is this is why I'm thinking about like okay so like Fluffy
Gabriel
Iglesias
right.
in this movie is like he's much more in the first
mm-hmm.
one and he is like mm-hmm. he if he's not an explicit villain he is the
well,
reason
right.
the bad stuff
he
happens
is.
So he his whole thing in the right. first movie is that he sort of starts the kid into the drug trade
yeah.
right like he sort of
mm-hmm.
gets him in and
right.
the kid like
and then Mike bails him out.
He does.
Right.
And the only redeemable
yeah.
thing about him in the first movie is that scene where everybody roughs up Mike's house and he explains, like, I'm just the middleman. Like, I'm not fucking your house up. These guys are fucking your house up. But, like, he's the bad guy for sure. Like, that doesn't redeem
mm-hmm.
you in
yeah.
any way.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
so
and,
in this...
And I was shocked that he was, like, even in the second
right.
one.
Right. Like,
but
I feel
they...
like that would have been
same.
A pretty big betrayal, Mike. Why
yeah.
are you willing to in even
you think he'd be done.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know why Mike wasn't, like, what the
yeah.
I have
also,
yeah.
if they're going to the convention in yeah. Myrtle, like Fluffy is not required for any of that. Like,
he's
no,
their DJ.
They have to have an
he's
MC.
The DJ.
He was the
they,
DJ.
Like,
they have
DJ
to have
there.
An MC.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
No.
Hmm.
No. This
he's,
is this is explicitly
the thing
stated
together
by
and they need someone.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
This is explicitly stated by Elizabeth
I,
Banks. I want to say. At the stripper
yes,
convention,
plays one of the
Paris.
Many good cameos in this. Yes.
yeah, and she says, "Who is your MC? If you don't have an MC, you can't do this."
Oh. Okay.
And
right.
It turns out to be Jada, yeah. but I mean,
But oh my god, her ribs are so bad. I was like, you guys had what, $27 million to make this movie? Yeah. She spent three on that wig. Like, literally, as soon as she comes out, at first I wasn't sure it was her because I was like, Elizabeth Banks, that wig is so shitty. Yeah. Like, all I could see was wig. And it's bizarre. Just like, fuck, Soderbergh. Yeah. Like, you could get a better wig. Like,
as much as I just don't like her as a person or anyone in that family, I think, like, her extreme confidence as a human and also like in this role kind of does work.
Jada.
Yeah, like you do need someone that is.
Oh, I think Jada's really
overly confident. Yeah, I guess.
I like her. I just, in this.
That whole family soured me with the whole punch Chris Rock in the face thing. Like, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not weighing in on outside of the movie. Yeah. I'm just saying. I think she gives a good performance.
I just wonder if there was another.
It's weird
person
that Chris Rock got. It was Chris Rock, right? That got Joe Manganiello.
Apparently.
So many crossovers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What is this? A multiverse of madness?
Oh boy, Doctor Strange.
The other trope in this movie that's not nearly as egregious as in the first ones is how everyone is Mike's ex-girlfriend. Right. Like, literally, it was like Jada, Elizabeth Banks, like everyone is his ex-girlfriend. And I was just like, I mean, of course, like it's fine because it's a road trip movie and that's how it works. But I was kind of like,
he's been all up the Atlantic coast, just laying pipe everywhere he goes.
That's a phrase I haven't heard in a while, and I appreciate it quite a bit. Yeah.
I mean, when you see
from the
him,
Outer Banks
like,
to the Keys, course, just
somebody's like, "Do you want to fuck that guy?" I'd be like, just... "I do. I really do."
Yeah.
So can we talk about the last 45 minutes?
Like the performance?
We can.
You mean? Yeah.
Well, wait. Do you want to talk about the saving the Rec Center montage first or the final performance first?
Man, it is that, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, well, there is a Saving the Rec Center montage, which is very, very fun.
So if the way you're phrasing this, Seth, makes me think you don't like that.
No, I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so, all right, how long is the actual performance?
It's like between 25 and 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, because they have slots. Yes. They have like
Kevin Nash's is like 6.5 seconds, and then everybody else gets about 4 to 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, in movie time though, this is 45 minutes. But regardless, so that means that also people that are attending the stripper show, right?
Yes, you brought this up when we were watching. Yeah.
It's like an all day affair.
Yeah. How long? How many shows are they watching? And
I did also have this question because how did they get out in time to see the fireworks for 4th of July? Because 4th of July fireworks are at like 9:30.
Yeah, so they're definitely starting at 8 in the goddamn morning.
So it definitely is an all-day affair and it starts fucking early.
Well, and I think...
It's all day. It's like 8 to 8.
I think like Jada gets Elizabeth to give them a good time slot because she's like, can't do it. And she's like, come on. Mm-hmm. And she's like, fine, I'll give you the good time slot. And I don't remember if they say what that is.
Oh, right.
But they don't, but I think it's
it
like
must
prime
be, it
time,
must be
I'm
like
guessing.
7.
But it was
so I think right though, watching stripping for more than, I don't know, half an hour, I feel like on hour 5 or 6, you'd be like, all right, I get it.
All right.
I think
like,
I get it. I'm
you know,
good.
I like the human form. I'm probably satiated for a little bit, but
yeah, it's like too much.
How many admissions boards of prestigious dance academies do you think attend these stripper conventions?
Oh, that's
just
a good point.
This is like
to find some
like
raw
scouting
talent.
High school baseball.
I mean, based on the third movie,
I mean, step up to the streets or whatever.
Also Flashdance. You know? I mean, I know the whole audition and the being a stripper and she's not really a stripper are separate things that happen in that movie. But you know, that you can find talent anywhere.
All right. My next question about the performance. Nash is dance. What is his persona?
He's an artist.
Artiste. I think. Yeah.
He mentions in the bus that he like gets into oil painting.
Yeah, I think they show some of his paintings at some point. Like, in one of the movies, I don't remember, but I feel like they show a painting.
Yeah, there's in the second one, there's a reference to him being
Wait,
like,
did
an
he
oil
paint
painter,
the painting of McConaughey?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. That would make a lot more sense. But his character's not fleshed out in the first movie.
Well, none of them are.
Yeah.
Nor in the second movie.
but he's really doing a fucking Faustian sort of situation there, and it's a lot. It's a lot. I love it, but it's a lot. Second up. Next question. That poor woman in the sex swing. How long is she sitting?
Is she stuck in the swing?
Sex swing. She's in there for a
Seth,
while.
You and I talked about this too. I assume you have second questions about the mirror situation, which we'll talk about.
Oh,
later.
I have many issues with the mirror scene. But let's not even get
these
started.
Are,
well, we will. We will.
These
mirror
are uncomfortable for
we'll
the women on. That they bring up on stage Love because the there is a lot of time spent where you're just like, okay, I guess I'm just gonna try to not look weird for, I don't know, minutes at a time.
Yeah, they literally just left
for a
her
while.
Hanging.
I'm in a sex swing. Hey, yeah. I'm covered in all kinds of whipped cream mm-hmm. and
that's
pieces
the one
of
that really
candy.
Bothers me.
Mm-hmm. I'm
yeah.
just,
yep.
I'm the candy
just,
one?
I'm just languishing in this
that's
sticky
the right
morass.
Word for it. Yeah. So the.
Languishing and morass.
the Joe Manganiello scene. I was watching this on the one day a week that our nanny is here, and the Joe Manganiello scene happened to happen, and it's to the Nine Inch Nails song, Fuck You Like an Animal. So, uh-huh.
Yes, the only Nine Inch Nails song that I know.
It was happening as my children that sleep in the room next to the room that I work in were waking up, and my nanny was just around a lot for that, and I was like, I hope she's seen this movie and maybe gets it, but if not, we might have to get a sixth nanny because this is not going to go well.
Mr. Zach,
yeah,
I can't.
This is
I just
a bridge
can't.
Too
yeah.
far.
She quit. Yeah. On, she's going to quit on the spot.
But what if she was yeah. just like poked her head and was like, ah, great scene. And I was like, I know.
mm-hmm. my last thing is more of a comment, and that is every time they were not actually mirrored yeah. was incredibly frustrating.
Not. Seth, that wasn't your last comment. Your last comment was they really muscle those women around.
Oh, they do. They do. Yeah. It is upsetting yeah. how they like are literally yeah. throwing them across the stage, especially if it was a random stranger mm-hmm. and not a professional dancer, actor.
I assume the people in the movie are professional dancers.
Sure,
yes, I understand
but,
your point.
But
yes,
like,
yes.
I mean, I know this is heightened reality and all of that sort of thing, but like, holy shit. They're just like flinging mm-hmm. them. It's like a goddamn I don't know Soviet dance where they're doing all the kicks, you know, yeah. the normal Matryoshka dance, and then
yeah.
but they're like Kassock. Flipping each other.
Amber's heard wild. Mm-hmm. Amber Heard's actual face like shows that
she looks like she is scared.
She comes
shit.
Out of her role and is just like, what the fuck mm-hmm. is going on here? yeah.
What is happening? Yeah. And also, where did they get that frame?
Yeah.
They built it.
Sure.
I don't know. Goodwill. They built
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they went. They did a whole like they went. They were building their sets yeah. and shit. Like
oh,
in the conference
I,
room.
I,
yeah.
I guess that Mike is like a mason or whatever the shit.
He's a literal
He's
carpenter.
A carpenter.
He's a furniture man. Furniture. Right.
But the
all
right. yeah, that is a all
right. Rescinded. Sure. Rescinded.
No, but
still,
the lack of
when
mirroring.
They were not actively
yes,
mirroring.
They
really
mirror 92% of the time, but that 8%, you're just like, come on.
That
8%
is very
you couldn't,
frustrating.
You couldn't,
because
you couldn't
I was too, I was too swept up in it to sure. care, yeah. personally. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Also,
well,
that, the other
guys.
Guy, which I think they pick him up at Jada's place, I think.
Yeah, he's from
yeah.
he's from.
Yeah,
he
one of Jada's
could have
boys,
become a new
yeah.
cool character, but they didn't really focus on him enough, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I read a thing where Soderbergh said, like, oh, yeah, we might do more movies in the Magic Mike extended universe
well,
at some point.
We'll loop it
Magic
back
Mike.
Into that
sure,
like,
soon.
Yeah.
Oh, same. I'm into
well,
that.
It's, which, no, that's Savannah a thing. Edition. That might be a thing that they're planning on yeah. doing, actually.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way,
super fun.
We were talking earlier. This is the only movie that Soderbergh didn't direct.
Yeah, Lee, you have all the story behind that.
Yeah.
Go into that whole thing. Yeah.
So, from what I understand, the director, Gregory Jacobs, is one of Soderbergh's regular assistant directors, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I guess Soderbergh was, like, going to be working on something else, and maybe that fell through, which is how he got Magic Mike in the first place. He got fired from another movie. And,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Ah, fuck, I forget what it was. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so his assistant director is like, oh, well, this will be a good, I'll help. Like, I can, because he did edit it and shoot, like, Soderbergh was still the cinematographer and editor yeah. and everything.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, the guy who directed it really didn't do much of the actual directing. Like, Soderbergh helped a lot and decided he didn't want to take a credit away from one of his guys. Yeah. So he's not credited as the director, but he kind of is.
Maybe I'm imagining a more embellished version of that story, but I thought what you were saying is, like, it was kind of going off the rails money-wise or schedule-wise.
I think it was, like, just, like, they weren't getting what they needed to
but,
get.
So he showed up and, like, shadow directed, but also was like, I don't want, like you said, I don't want credit for this. I want my guy to, like, have his moment, but I will help in any way that I possibly can, which is, like, very admirable, for sure.
Yeah. Kind of in keeping with the message of the second movie altogether.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's still a frenetic mess, but, like, yeah.
I mean, I also love it.
Know. But, like, if you chop it up and look at the individual scenes, like, mathematically, it is a fucking mess.
Whatever.
I feel like they were, like, they took the lesson of the first movie, which is no one gives a fuck what the plot is. And we're like, how can we insert more dancing into this movie? So, like, they could have cut the whole scene at the beach. Like, nobody needed that. But, like, they did cut a lot.
But at the same...
like, dance.
At the same time, you're saying no one cares about the plot. I feel like this one has the most satisfying plot of the three of them.
Yeah, because not by way of, like, having a good plot. It just eliminates the bad plot elements of the other ones.
Well, it's the most simple plot out of the three of them.
Right. There's no...
Yeah, there's no tedium in any of the bullshit.
Well, because everybody's together
You don't have to gather any of our components, really. Yeah. Like Jada, I guess.
As soon as I saw that it was a road trip.
And we cast off Gabriel because he committed a sin in the previous movie. And then,
Go get a concussion or whatever. I didn't mind that because he was so unnecessary.
I agree. It was really exhausting.
I have a note on this one. This is also a husband of the podcast quote. Is Magic Mike the Iliad and this is the Odyssey?
Okay.
And I was like, I don't think so, but I like where it's at.
Interesting.
Give me a couple months. I'll try to work something out.
And I was like... I like where your head's at.
One time I got drunk and wrote, started writing a blog post, I guess, because I had a blog at one point about how each episode of 30 Rock that the character Dennis Duffy appears in is a different phase of the hero's journey, the Joseph Campbell.
Interesting. And
I called it the Duffy.
Boy.
This is a dark place for you,
I don't think I finished. I don't think I ever finished,
I enjoy that, though.
But I'll work on this one. I'll try.
Mario, you're not wrong. I think the thing that I like about this movie is there are no stakes whatsoever, right? Like,
really? Yeah.
Yeah.
The stakes are Mike getting over his ex.
Yeah, and the fake stakes are like, we have to go to this place and do this last show. But if that doesn't happen...
We have to do it so good.
Yeah, if that doesn't happen, nothing bad happens. Like, it's totally fine.
Yeah, like their business, their stripper business isn't going to disappear if they don't do because they don't have one anymore. They're just
a cool
hack.
Oh.
I know what my question was. They never explained why Mike ended up moving to Miami. So like in the end of the first one, they're all going to move to Miami with Dallas, except for Mike stays in Tampa with the sister. But then in this one, he says he lives in Miami. So he must have moved there eventually. But like, why?
I don't know.
Probably because, like, Miami is slightly less of a trash hole and people need furniture built there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was like...
Maybe he's really into Cuban coffee.
It's expensive to live there, for sure.
I was like, they moved to Miami in the end? That's
honestly, I think the plot matters so little in these movies that I had not noticed that until you just said it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I also didn't realize he was in.
Yeah.
Maybe I might have imagined.
No, I totally believe that you're right. I just...
And I was like, what?
Interesting. That's a fair point.
Make any sense. They should be hanging out all the time. They live in the same town. When he lived in Tampa, it was like, oh, I get it. He's like, they live far away and they don't see each other anymore. Yeah. But it was like, you all live
in
the same place.
But this is what I like about this one. It's like, this is the one where, like, Mike realizes I don't have to, like, push that part of my life away to still have the life that I want. Like, it can be part of the life
I can have friends.
And there's a very, very minimal tedious romantic subplot. So, it doesn't get in the way of anything.
Amber Heard.
Yeah, I appreciated how minimal it was. Agreed. Could have been none, but yeah. Okay. Also, they like she carries around a camera because she's a photographer. How does she get the camera into the stripper competition?
Good question.
Notice she's the only person holding
maybe
a camera.
Maybe she has a press pass.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, uh-huh, that's awkward. The Annie McDowell makes a reference to a wine that costs $5,000 a bottle. Just want to point that out. I looked it up. It's a 59 Lafitte. And I was like, I know that's expensive. Mm-hmm. Average price is 5K. So I was like, either these people are really rich.
I feel like Annie McDowell is married to a senator or some bullshit. Seemed like it. It's
well, they're getting divorced.
Yeah.
They're getting divorced.
I know, but still.
So she can get with
big
put it
routine.
On my ex-husband's tab. We'll get a divorce.
My God. Was it who was the friend that like also needed her groove back? And who was the guy?
Oh, the one whose husband doesn't fuck with the lights.
And who
on.
Was the guy that I forget which one of the friends was like, "Hey, you're beautiful and everything about you is perfect." It was Matt Ballmer.
Oh, it was
okay.
Matt Ballmer.
Yeah, it was Matt
Ballmer. Gives her like the pep talk. He sings to her.
Right. But no, she's just a friend. That's fine. Yeah. But like That was fun.
Yeah.
Like, it is sort of the reverse of the usual thing, sweet. Kind of. It's like, you have worth, and you are sexy as fuck. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was actually very nice. I appreciated, like, again, with the diversity and representation.
Yeah,
like, how
exactly.
about older women?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, older women are not nothing. And, I mean, of course, they pick Annie McDowell, who's, like, an angel on earth. Yeah. But, like, they were like, let's show some appreciation and love for the sophisticated, mature ladies.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah. Like that.
Fully agreed.
But they could have, like,
Amber. No, she didn't
her as
be
the
involved.
Daughter, the stepdaughter, whatever. I was just like, skip it. Skip it.
So
yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The tough thing about that is, like, it would make sense if it's not even her that gets them into that house. It's someone, one of the other girls.
It's the other sister like, trying to hook up with the guy from CSI.
Yeah.
It's so unnecessary.
Whatever. It's very minimal part of
it
the
is.
Movie.
Let's move to 3.
Yeah. All
right. Are we ready for the third?
This is going to be fucking contentious. I'm certain of it.
Yep.
I'm going to say my piece and you can say yours and
okay,
that'll be
it won't
fine.
Be that contentious then. That's fine. Seth, you got that whole biz?
You got that IMDb?
I sure do. It is 2 sentences long, which we all know is the sign of a bad movie.
Yeah, laborious.
All right, so this is a 2023 film. Mike takes to the stage again, following a business deal that went bust, leaving him broke and taking bartender gigs in Florida. Mike heads to London with a wealthy socialite who lures him with an offer he can't refuse.
Yep.
Okay.
So the budget on this one.
Yeah.
Was $45 million.
The money is way different on this one, yeah.
And the money was $57 million. Dollars. It was originally never supposed to get a theatrical release.
Yeah.
I did see that it was supposed to go straight to Max, and like I guess test audiences, they changed their
I think
minds.
Also,
that is baffling
to me,
but
I think it was also in the time frame of like all of the companies were like, it's everything is just for streaming now, movie theaters are dead, and then they panicked and were like, wait a minute,
Barbenheimer.
Well,
yeah.
This is a Soderbergh again.
Where did all that money go? That money is not.
I think locations.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
No. Fair. Okay, I am convinced that she did this movie for free in exchange for getting to make out with Channing Tatum.
Wouldn't
and
disagree.
Like, Channing Tatum.
You know, she's married to a billionaire.
Yeah, she is.
I'm very aware. So she can afford to do whatever she wants. Also,
there was another person that they had in mind for Salma Hayek's role, I think.
Tandy
I
Newton.
I saw this
somewhere.
Tandy Newton.
Yes, it was.
Wild.
Oh, she would be
Salma Hayek is like,
and is
she's
British.
She is. That's true.
So that's like
Salma Hayek is like the
Mexican.
Joe Manganiello of humans. She is like the sexiest person that has ever lived. Yeah,
she's
which like sure
stunningly
makes sense.
Beautiful.
Thandie Newton would have been a much more interesting casting for this.
Uh-huh.
She is gorgeous.
She's also
but
beautiful,
like
though.
But like
and
in a more
I think
she's like a more serious
really
actor.
Good.
I think like it would have been interesting. I don't know. Yeah.
You know who she's married to is the director of Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, Ole Parker.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I did not know that. Good for her.
They've been married for a long time.
My so like watching this movie, I was like, Salma Hayek paid for, this is my takeaway, not knowing anything about the movie, mm-hmm. just having watched it. Selma, this is a Salma Hayek vanity project that she financed herself with her Caring money. It is partially a commercial for Caring brands. You know that Gucci and Bottega Veneta? I Ooh. Did not miss
yeah,
any
there's
of
a
that.
Lot
the
of
Gucci
that.
Holy shit. She's wearing the Gucci okay. PJs on the PJ. Like, it is, I'm
she
like,
has
this is
so
a, this
many,
is an ad for her
so
husband's
many,
company.
Like, Coach bags. Because
they need
stuff.
More money, probably. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Correct. And so I'm like, this, I was like, you know, if I was married to a billionaire, I would also self-finance a movie.
I was
going to
say, yeah.
Help Channing
yeah, yeah.
Tatum.
That makes sense.
So, like, it yeah. kind well, of yeah. made sense. Uh-huh.
But you're married to a several thousandaire right now. Don't you think you could maybe at least put out some feelers if you want?
Okay. Wow.
What? I'm just saying. Like, you could use your life savings to say, hey, Channing Tatum, you want to come make a short film? Like,
I cannot yeah. afford Channing Tatum. I could take the Channing Tatum's
you
understudies.
You could
understudy.
Probably get Bulmer.
You could. No, no. CSI Miami. You, everybody
my favorite
could
thing
CSI
in this
Miami. Yeah. He is.
He's super cute. My favorite part of this movie is that. So first of all, we know this movie's in 2023 because they're texting and FaceTiming. Yes. My favorite part of this movie is that when he's texting with Richie, he has him saved in his phone as big eggplant emoji.
Yeah, of course.
That was
but
like
also,
my favorite takeaway.
Least favorite movie part of this movie is that is the only part that they participate in. It's the fucking like it's
Zoom
Pitch
call,
Perfect 3.
I hated
the
that.
The really overly sexual.
You did have this.
I haven't seen
the
that
overly
one.
Sexual girl who was extremely good in the other ones. She was pregnant at the time, and they did the same thing. They were like, "Oh, we'll just do like a Zoom call to get her in like a little bit, whatever." It's like, all right, they're like.
Yeah. Like, literally
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, go a different way entirely, or, like, I don't know, fucking invite everybody back. Like,
well,
what are we doing? Yeah.
The thing about that bothered me is, like, this is a very much post-COVID movie. Like, explicitly, Mike's company went under
that.
During
sure.
COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're Zooming together as the way to get our fellas from the last two movies into right. the story. And the Zoom is such low quality. It feels like a Zoom from... several years ago that I couldn't
it's
I was
so
having
bad.
Such a hard time suspending my disbelief on how bad the Zoom was.
That's true.
I was gonna chalk it up to being international, but
could be yeah.
I mean,
know,
not
I
even
a lot
even
with a guy from Germany
yeah,
at work.
I mean,
like it never been a problem for me.
Yeah.
Germany has very good infrastructure though.
At that time when I
and
had
England doesn't
well, fair point. Yeah.
At that time when I had three jobs, Brexit. We had part of my team was in Russia, part of them were in Thailand, the UK, and here, and our Zoom calls were usually pretty good. So,
sure.
Yeah, I do it all the time. But it was like, I did also think they missed an opportunity to, why didn't they call it Magic Mike Across the Pond?
Fuck.
It could have been, like Magic Mike's Last Dance is, like, not as cute
I,
as
in my brain,
I know,
to this
I think
day.
That, I think this is, like, them putting the stamp on,
like no more
Channing wants
because,
to do other
because
stuff.
Because he clearly
like,
yeah,
did not want to be involved in this. Holy shit. He
oh,
is
I don't,
so checked
he,
out the entire goddamn
No, I think
time.
He does. I think this movie was just kind of bad. I think he does continue to want to do
Man,
these things.
Really
but
bad. I think that he is looking off into the middle distance for this entire movie.
And I
but
do
again,
not get that impression at
okay,
all.
Lee, we have to, up front, let's do this. You watch this movie hammered drunk, and you allege to like it a lot.
Yeah.
But also,
this movie was
drunk.
Horseshit. My partner
was
like,
three drinks in, okay?
My
you have described it as
left. She was just like, yeah, I'm done. This is not worth watching anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was like, I hate this.
Yeah.
Less talking, more dancing.
Yeah.
I totally understand why this movie doesn't work. I, for some reason, hit whatever wavelength they were on, and it
three,
worked.
Three Mai Tais
like,
and
yeah,
a little
I think,
bit of
I think it was a little look.
All I'm saying is, I think the thing about Magic Mike 3 is like we've told our Magic Mike stories. We just want to send Magic Mike off and just be done. And
yeah, but why not? Like, why not send him off in a good way instead of a shitty
and
way?
And with his friends?
I think it's
why
like,
not invite
I think
his
it's,
friends?
Yeah. I think it's just an it's an exercise in like everything you expect is going to happen in this movie. We're not going to do it. They purposefully. subvert every single scene is subverting the thing you expect is going to happen.
I don't agree at all. Like, what did they fucking subvert?
Yeah,
I'm not talking about, like, big things. It's like every little moment is a subversion of what should have, what the obvious thing to do would be.
I'm much more on Mariel's level, where Selma Hayek just wanted to dry hump Channing Tatum. Which, hey, fucking get after it. That's great.
That movie is like a like a third of the movie.
I know. Yeah. I was
that
so...
incredible room divider bookshelf thing she has. Yeah. Oh, so good.
It's amazing. But I was like, wow, this
it
is
long.
Really
and doesn't contribute to the plot at all.
Bored. Yeah. I was fucking bored during that scene because one, like, yeah, there's some athleticism there,
sure,
right? But it's also a very slow. It's a slow jam.
Yeah.
It's just watching a softcore porn.
It is.
For...
I was gonna say, I guess you watch too much hardcore porn if you can't get into a nice slow sensual dance.
Extremely good looking people having very PG-13 sex is like, sure, give me 30 seconds. I don't need 17 minutes of it. Yeah,
I don't need 17 minutes.
It was.
It was too much. It was too slow,
and it was
fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
Though I do appreciate that he checked each piece of equipment, and like as he moved around the room before he started his little dance, he checked the strength of the walls, and they didn't shatter walls, which would have been hilarious if they had just went straight through a plate glass wall.
Would have been funnier.
I would have loved this movie if that had happened. Like, if it had been goofy like that, but it was too self-serious, right? Like, if they had, like, shattered the glass and her be like, oh, haha, like, I can afford to replace it and nobody's cut up. Or if when he's, like, dancing on a bookshelf and it just, like, it breaks because it's shitty, shitty welding. You know, that would have made this movie actually watchable for me if they actually had humor.
Right.
But there was
none before that scene. There was a little bit because he's bartending and she, you know,
it's a callback to this. That woman is in the first movie. That's an actress
from the first
movie from the sorority.
Yeah.
The sorority girl.
And then, but
it wasn't even funny. It was just a reference. Right?
Yeah, but they're like, Mrs. So-and-so wants to see you. And then, you know, they have that whole exchange where they're both not clear what the other one wants or like what the transactional nature of the situation is. And like that was sort of the original sort of hijinks of the whole thing. But then they get to the sexy part and it's just like, oh, all right. Like, this is not very fun.
It's just going to. Right. It's just going to go on for too long and not have any humor, not have a monochrome of humor. That's the thing
that really
bothers me. Is I like the movie. I like all of the Magic Mikes have, even the first two anyway, had occasional humor. The first one, not as much. The second one was very funny.
Yes.
This one was soulless.
Yeah. Fully agreed. Yeah.
I hated it so much. I hated this almost as much as Holy Motors. I hated this movie so fucking
Seth,
much.
As the only other person that has seen Holy Motors, that is... The nuclear option. That's insane.
It really, really bothered
me.
Okay.
I don't think I feel that strongly about it, but fair enough.
I'm going to fall back on the thing I point out every time you bring up Holy Motors. I have never seen it still.
All right, well.
People love that movie. You two are the only people who
Lee,
hate
you
that
can,
movie.
You
people
can
are
just
fucking
watch it. You can watch the movie.
Yeah, you could watch
no,
it.
No, I like this better.
It's horrible. Yeah. Marielle, you had a thing to say. Go ahead.
Mystery. Okay, so when they're on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And she's, like, asking about her. She's like, oh, my family's in media. And he's like, TV? And she's like, all kinds. My husband and I both look at each other and go, porn. And we're like, I was certain that this was going to be, like, a Magic Mike.
Interesting.
Goes to
yeah,
a porn.
He goes to, like, Amsterdam. He studio. Has to, like, start doing pornos in the red light district.
That'd be fun.
I was, like, I was kind of excited because I was, like, what if it's, like, Boogie Nights?
Yeah,
I
right.
I was, like, oh, this could be really funny. Like, he gets there and they're, like, oh, we're going to take you to the next level. And it's, like, Magic Mike's Last Dance is doing porn. But then it turns out that she means, like, it's the Murdochs. Yeah. And I was,
that
like,
would that would be like, an interesting escalation of the sex work. But for men, which is, you know, not the typical one that anybody inspects or whatever. Yeah, that would be weird. I like that.
He had she had offered him $6,000 and they fucked. So it's like kind of, he's already kind of being a whore. And it's like, she was like, she's super rich.
Yeah.
It could be porn. Yeah. You know.
Why was there, a voiceover?
Well, it's, yeah, I got it. Why? The voiceover. I still don't to this.
It's the daughter. The narration. It's, like, you know, it's the daughter, which is extra weird. Yeah.
Yeah, why is there a 14-year-old doing a voiceover?
She's writing a book, and it's not.
Why did this exist?
So it's not, this like, is good. The,
we already know we're making a bad movie. How can we redeem it? Let's make that the
no,
sort of...
It's like you don't need an exposition, an exposition so robot to be Mike had always wanted to be a dancer.
Right.
Like, yeah, of course he fucking did. He's a dancer now. That's not any new information.
No, I think that was an afterthought. It was an afterthought where they were like, they watched the edit and they were like, this is garbage. Can we pull anything out?
But like, so here's my thought. My thought on that. The narration is like a very stripped down, like, this is the Hollywood version of the story where it's like, they ran into, Mike always wanted to be a dancer. They run into relationship strife and like, they save the day. But then on screen, it's like, it's not that simple. And it's like, Mike's life has never been as simple as
I think you're adding way more text than exists in this because it definitely did not appear on screen.
You're I think giving so. It too much credit. I hated that character. She was completely unnecessary. Liked and the parentification of the adopted daughter by Salma was upsetting.
Agreed.
Like, I was like, I didn't know this was supposed to be an upsetting movie because I was like, she is an angsty teen and her 14-year-old daughter is like trying to slap her out of it. I really hated that. That was like very upsetting. This is too that was
fully
too heavy
agreed.
For me.
The only the one redeeming thing of this movie was when her, the daughter, and the butler are sitting outside the final show. The rain and all that shit is going on, I guess, at the time. And she has to not be in there because she's a child. And they're arguing, her and the butler are arguing. And she goes, I was allowed to go back when Genuine's Pony hits. And the butler goes, no, it's after Pony. She goes, no, it was at Pony. I was like, okay. So Pony shows up in fucking all of these movies, of course. It's a hallmark, and it's perfect in every one. Yeah.
It's his signature.
And that was like the only redeeming feature that I found with her plotline.
So the rain dance is kind of a ripoff of the Always Sunny.
Like the first like half of the rain dance until it turns into hardcore sex.
Yeah.
Like hardcore, pretty aggressive sex, actually.
Yep.
But before that, it is definitely Max dancing. You know, but the problem is I didn't care about any of these characters. There was no poignancy, and there was no like strength to it, right? The thing about the Mac dance is it is about his emotional journey. This one is like, oh yeah, it's fun to kiss in the rain sometimes.
Well, the Mac dance is
she's great. Wonderful.
They had so much more chemistry than him, like him and the ballerina had way more chemistry than him and Selma at any point in the whole movie.
100%.
But her point in the whole thing was like, I think he said at one point to Selma, like, we need an actual dancer. And she goes and finds her. And then that's it. That's the whole fucking thing. It's like, there was no character interplay there? Yeah.
Right, because they're putting on a show. They found someone for the
show. But, like, why not have any dialogue?
We didn't get to learn about any of the dancers. Yeah. Like, those are so many.
There's a huge
wonderful
miss for me.
Like, side characters. Like, why were they dancing on the street? What is their backstory? Yeah. Do they have a particular personality? Yes. But they don't even have lines. Yeah. Not a single background character has a line in this.
And they have very little, even just dance time. And I was like, these men are incredible, and they needed to get a lot more dance time and a lot less of everything.
Less talking, more dancing.
This smacks very hard of the studio finally realized that the first two made a fuckload of money, and they were like, "Let's pump out another one and also be like very heavy-handed about all of the studio shit about it."
I don't get the impression that Soderbergh makes anything that he doesn't want to make. Like, I don't think he listens to the studio
Well,
very
fair
much.
Enough. I don't know.
My takeaway again is that Salma Hayek wanted to make a movie for herself. Yeah, and that's why fine. She's the star. Because fine. It's like, she didn't need to be in 90% of this movie. Like, she was just like the money, and then they like hook up in the end. She was petulant
the entire time. She was a child.
It was just so unnecessary. And like, I don't know.
Are we ready to move beyond third?
Such a bummer. I feel like there was something else I wanted to talk about that I enjoyed, but I don't think there's one.
The intermission?
The intermission was fun. Oh,
that was fun. Yeah.
That was a nice little Easter egg. I enjoyed that.
That felt like Soderbergh getting his stamp on the movie just a little tiny bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Power rankings, right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You want IMDb ratings, or do we want to do that later?
Oh, actually kind of interested in what the IMDb ratings are. Sure, why not?
So the original Magic Mike has a 6.1 with 145,000 votes. I mean, not great, but okay. Weirdly, XXL has a 5.6. I mean, I could see it
didn't get reviewed as well as I think as everyone who I know who likes that movie a lot more than it got compared to how it was reviewed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it was missing some of the star power, right? We no longer have McConaughey. We no longer have, I guess, Olivia Munn, if she has any star
power. It's mostly the McConaughey thing. Yeah.
Anyway, that's 60,000 people voted for a 5.6. And then this most recent one is a 5.2 with 14,000 votes. Granted, it is very new, so
it is.
People aren't rating it yet.
14,000 seems like the amount of people I would expect to vote for that movie. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, I mean, the second one was 2015, and this is 8 years later, so it's like everybody but us is like, we're done.
But it has it does have a big cultural tale. It does. Like, there's Magic Mike touring shows. Like, there's a residency in Vegas.
It's like that movie Robot Jocks in the sequel, which is a name I can't recall.
Yeah, I forget what the name of it is. And then the remake, Pacific Rim.
And then the remake sequel, Pacific Rim. I don't know. I think it was called Finn from Star Wars is in it. Charlie Day is in this one.
You should go first.
Yeah, okay. No surprise, the second one is the best. That's my favorite. 100%. And then I go 3-1. I honestly just don't like the first one.
Okay.
I could see it. It does have a lot of bummers in it, right?
Yeah.
It has a lot of bummers. I can understand why you wouldn't like it as much.
It has a lot of bummers in a way that, like, most movies do, though. It follows the normal movie structure the most, I think. Which maybe isn't the thing that this series was set out to do. Like, it could have been a different thing. Like,
Oh, I remembered a thing from the third that I want to talk about. The bus scene where they sexually assault a poor woman and there's a fucking swan at the end that is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. That was like a fever dream.
But then she's on their side.
Yeah, it apparently works, but it is definitely sexual. No, but
literally that character existed only so they could do the bus dance.
Why? Like, I get that, like, she disrupted a performance of Swan Lake earlier and blah, 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 but still, holy shit.
There's your answer. That's why.
It was because she, like, loves swans or some shit, but I was, like, also, like, why do they talk so much about the, like, historic commission and, like, this fucking old theater that her husband's family owns? I was like, nobody gives a fuck.
They're
like,
firing people and hiring other people, and it's just like, we don't want the... But just shake... Like, some man has to shake their ass soon, or I'm going to fucking turn this shit off. Like,
I did enjoy the montage of the auditions.
That's true.
Because it gave us a little bit of insight into each of the different characters, but then they don't even have names. Yeah. So it's like...
Anyway. Sorry. I just had to bring up that fucking swan. Fair enough. Anyway, Marielle, do you wanna go next with your power ranking?
Sure. I mean, I'm an obvious... I'm a 2-1-3. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2... honestly, I kind of want to watch it again. Like, it is fun. It is just like a good time.
It was a great movie. Full on great movie.
It really was. Great movie. One for me is like seminal. It like kickstarts the whole thing. It brings like male exotic dancers to the forefront. You know, they're never fully nude.
So Soderbergh is a coward. We all agree.
Yes, they should have hung dog.
I want to see anybody's 100%. Dog in that movie.
Yeah, that'd be great. I want to see Big Dick Ritchie. I want to see what he's up. Is he a Willem Dafoe or is he a David Bowie?
I mean, you get the silhouette scene, and it's pretty evocative. But I also like, you know, it's the whole thing is it's like this is Channing Tatum's like life growing up in Tampa. Yeah. I appreciate that part of it. It's like, you know, this is what it's like in this seedy underworld slash also glamorous. And then three, I just was like, what the fuck is happening in this movie? And less talking, more dancing.
Yeah.
So, less talking, more dolly.
Yeah. There was just too much. Like, why did they in the third one, they like go out of their way to be like, Channing Tatum is the salt of the earth. He doesn't fuck with vegetables.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? He doesn't fuck with vegetables?
I still don't
understand,
like, the restaurant scene made no sense.
Is that
going
to be
like,
the lesson he learns by the end? Oh, a broccoli is actually a good thing to have every once in a while. I was so pissed off when he said that. God damn.
So unnecessary. Yep. Anyway.
I don't fuck with vegetables.
That movie.
Seems right.
On a cucumber sandwich, you piece of shit. What are you talking about?
Seth.
God, there's nothing. You just want to eat mayonnaise and bread? Cool, I guess.
And then she even says, how did you get that body? And he's like,
it's very evocative.
No, it's working out 20 hours every day.
Korean superstar Psy. Hey, where'd you get that body from? And then he says he got it from his daddy. And then we do a little dance. And that would have been great because then we would have had less talky, more dancing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Seth, your thoughts on all the things.
Anyway.
2 is perfect.
Okay.
Not perfect. It's good.
Sure.
It's very good. It's very enjoyable. I don't actually like 1 that much.
No.
Like, it's better than 3, but I don't really like it.
Okay, so...
Like, 3 made me viscerally angry.
So 2 and then...
1...
Low,
1...
I know.
1 is fine. Like, it's not really that good to me. It's just sort of, like...
Like a 5 out of 10? Like
I'd probably put it
at,
like, a 4.2, because it really doesn't matter. Like, I see it just, it's, like... Yeah, it's kind of forgettable to me. But 2. Mm-hmm. Ooh, 2. That's why we gotta mind our P's and 2's.
Zach, can you please give your power ranking?
I wish I could. I'm gonna buck the trend. Mine is 1, 2, 3. And 2 very close. I think 2 is an extremely good movie. I do like 1. I like all the shit we talked about. Like the kid plot is it's a lot. But I like the Mike plot in 1, and I like the everybody's really struggling. They're really like grinding it out, you know.
Yeah, and I like Mike's characterization in 1. Like he's like a very interesting character because he like is completely okay with it and very very confident, which is great. But also
I think in the
we don't need another confident white guy.
Sure. Yeah. For sure.
It was 2011.
That it come around, again. It took a huge swing for an as yet untested franchise. They were like, "What if we make a movie about stripping?" But it's actually really like it has something going on. Like there's something in there.
Yeah, it's called Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, I don't love the McConaughey shit, but
I don't think that movie.
No,
was about
it's
stripping.
Not.
I assumed it was because of your Mandela thing, where I like assumed anything Matthew McConaughey was in this year is about stripping.
I did look it up. He did win a bunch of prestigious critics awards.
He was in a bunch of high rankings.
And Jared Leto.
I think Jared Leto was the Oscar winner.
Oh, I mean, they both won for Dallas Buyers Club. I just mean for this movie. Yeah.
I do really like 1. And 2 is perfect. I think it is frenetic. Like we talked about it. The edit was insane on that movie. 3, nothing. Hated it. I wish that they do the thing that we all kind of saw, which is they do some spinoff shit or whatever. Like, that seems great. I hope that happens.
Oh yeah, I hope they have a spinoff with the butler.
Sure, that'd be great.
If Kevin Nash
gets a fucking spinoff as like,
oh. he's having sure. a tough year.
I would love a Kevin Nash
spinoff where they explore sure, his
exactly.
painting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it'll be
could be great.
Yeah. that'll be great. He just plays like a master.
Yeah.
In this, mm-hmm.
It would be like.
But paintings with John or whatever,
Bob Ross. Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But shirtless Kevin.
Speaking
Nash.
Of that, I love the thing I love about this series entirely is it brought together a bunch of weird fucking dudes. Kevin Nash,
yeah,
Channing Tatum, the CSI Miami guy who I will never know, Joe Manganiello, who I only know from being
his name is Adam Rodriguez.
Oh, Adam Rodriguez,
but, like,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, CSI Miami, yeah. Whatever. Joe Manganiello is married to was married to Sofia Vergara. Yeah,
they're getting divorced. Yeah,
yeah. He wants a divorce because she didn't want kids, and she's like 50. I was like, yeah, I think you're.
yeah, that can't be a surprise.
And has an adult
sure,
child.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Kevin Nash, fucking everybody. Like, this movie brought together a bunch of people that seem pretty cool, and it was just like, yeah, you just want to be a part of the whole thing. Like, when they hang out, it's just like, oh, it feels like they'd be fun to hang out with. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wish that...
Until Amber Heard shows up and ruins everything.
Yeah.
Wow. Did she shit in the bed? I was just like, you know...
I wish we still had movie musicals.
Yeah.
Like, Channing...
Yeah.
Channing could have... He could have a Gene Kelly.
For
yeah,
sure.
He really could.
We still had my God,
he's got the
yes.
dancing chops. Yeah. I don't know how he sings.
It's in
Hail Caesar.
He's
playing...
That's what I was thinking, right.
It's kind of a combo of Gene Kelly and James Cagney.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because like, it's okay. almost identical... Like, the set is almost identical to the set in... the musical number Shanghai Lil from one of the Busby Berkeley musicals that James Cagney's in. But he's dressed like Gene Kelly, and it's much more of a Gene Kelly dance.
Yeah, it's kind of a Gene Kelly dance. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, I need to watch
that. No Dames, I believe the musical number is called.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sure. It's an okay movie. Awesome. I mean, it's a lesser...
I like it. I rewatched it a couple months ago.
Yeah,
I like
it's
it.
It's a lesser Coen Brothers, yeah. But like...
As we've established on this show, the lesser Coens are all my favorite Coens.
Well, yeah. They're currently not making movies together. Yeah.
That's
just
true.
I saw a trailer the other day for... One of them is making a movie.
Uh-huh.
End of story. I don't know.
Weird.
Okay.
Cool story,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Well, 269 damn looks fine. I think we did it. I think we did pretty good.
We watched all three of these movies 3 days in a row. That's all my
That's
movies
true.
For like
you do not watch
years,
a lot of
so
movies.
You're welcome. Yeah. I don't watch movies. I saw Barbie in the theater.
Wow.
Now,
that was delightful.
That movie is great. Yeah.
What are we going to do for
say you watched three movies 3 days in a row, and I watched, I think, four movies today.
Yeah.
No.
I definitely have watched, like, five in the last week.
Yeah, my average week has between 12 and 17 movies, I think.
It's just not a thing that I do. I don't know,
that's fine.
I watch a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, I mostly do it in the middle of the night.
It is the thing I do in my spare time. Yeah. I watch movies.
All right, so 369, we're either going to watch the next forthcoming Magic Mike movie, or... I don't know. We got to find some other thing.
We go watch Showgirls.
300. I was also thinking Showgirls.
So for 300, you're going to do 300?
The Zack Snyder?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen 300? Jesus fucking Christ.
Everybody, listen, my spring break from college was a different week than everybody else's.
How
so
does
like,
that possibly
the week I came, The week I came home for spring break, all of my friends had already seen it
and,
because
and that
they
was,
had gone.
That was
they
18
lived at home.
Years ago. So yeah.
Like, so every I go home for spring break and all my friends had already seen it because they lived at home, you know.
Yeah.
And then I go back to college and all my college friends had already seen it while I was home for spring break.
And it's not really a movie that has any value for watching.
And I don't give a shit. Yeah.
I do kind of want to make Lee watch it. Because I'm curious how he's going to do with it. Because,
I mean, it, like,
as long as we don't watch Rise of an Empire. Movie,
how often is there a movie with a title that is the number of the episode?
That is
like,
a good
kind of like
we really
fucked
up
for 21
or 23.
Oh.
Oh, okay, the number 23.
Well, I don't know as many movies as you.
Well, there's
or 42. We fucked up with 42.
Yeah, wait until we get to
there's 2012 when we're all like 170 years old. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say 2001.
A movie I hate.
Oh,
2000.
A movie I love.
2000
and a book that I thought was really good.
2010. There's a 2063.
Here We Make Contact. Yeah.
Film.
The final.
Okay.
2009
Wait, there's,
is the
there's,
final.
Yeah.
There's
more attainable ones. 500 Days of Summer. That's coming. I know. Yeah, not great.
Gross.
No, but that's like not. That's not. If it was just the number 500.
Yeah.
But if because it's 500 Days of Summer, I'm like.
That's fair.
Oh.
And I think the 500 is in.
It is.
I know
it
what
is
we really even. Fucked up is doing pie.
Oh. No. We could do 314. 314.
0.141.
Oh, I don't want a temp animal.
Oh,
again.
I watched that in eighth grade algebra class.
We've only had one friend that has temp-hand. Not himself, but was temp-hand.
That's true.
We could bring him back on.
Oh, that's true, but it wasn't a self-inflicted.
It was not.
That was done by a medical expert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
well,
at
this is
nothing. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
This is nothing. Yeah, and I have
not
nothing. Eaten,
okay.
So, all right. Yeah.
Did it. I don't know what's next, because I don't know when this comes out.
We
but...
did it.
370 or 270 comes out next, and we recorded that in the future or already.
Yeah, we definitely recorded it tomorrow.
And I don't remember what.
I'm only responsible for this, so don't look at it.
That's
here.
True.
Yeah, well, until next time, mind your P's and twos.
Yeah, that's definitely the cut.
That's definitely the cut.
And that's definitely the cut.
Marielle, you want one?
No.
That's
a hard no for me.